You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Welcome to Aaron Mankey's Cabinet of Curiosities, a production of iHeartRadio and Grim and Mild.
Our world is full of the unexplainable. And if history is an open book, all of these amazing tales are right there on display, just waiting for us to explore. Welcome to the Cabinet of Curiosities.
In the tumultuous era of the Russian Revolution, a battalion emerged from the shadows, capturing the imagination of all who bore witness to their indomitable spirit. They were an awe-inspiring force, feared by their adversaries and revered by their comrades. Led by a commander of legendary reputation, they etched their mark upon the annals of World War I. Clad in uniforms that spoke of discipline and strength, they exuded an air of confidence that permeated the world around them. Their helmets gleamed beneath the sun, reflecting their relentless determination. These soldiers possessed a resolute gaze, eyes piercing through the fog of war, with unwavering focus. With each step, their boots resounded with purpose, the sound echoing through the battlefields as a testament to their steadfast resolve. Their presence alone struck fear into the hearts of their enemies. They were a force to be reckoned with, unmatched in their bravery and unparalleled in their skill. Yet it was not just their ferocity and combat prowess that set them apart. Within their ranks, a bond stronger than steel bound them together. Comradeship flowed through their veins, serving as a lifeline amidst the chaos of war. In the darkest moments, they found solace in each other's unwavering support, lending a helping hand or a comforting word when the weight of the world threatened to crush their spirits. One name stood out among the rest, whispered in hushed reverence by both allies and foes alike, Butch Korova. This revered commander led a fierce battalion with an iron will. Every decision was guided by a clarity of purpose that demanded respect. It ignited a fire within the warriors, fueling their valor in the face of insurmountable odds. Such respect and leadership hadn't always been granted to the commander. As a soldier in the early days, Butch Korova had been mocked and harassed. But in 1917, during World War I, something happened to change the young soldier's course. As the war continued and the fighting dragged on, many soldiers on the Eastern Front abandoned their posts. Butch Korova proposed a solution to the Minister of War, Alexander Kerensky. The minister listened intently and agreed to fund the Battalion of Death. The decision had been an easy one for the soldier. In a later memoir, Butch Korova wrote, "My heart yearned to be there, in the boiling cauldron of war, to be baptized in its fire and scorched in its lava." And so began the select recruitment and training of some of the most determined soldiers in Russia. Nearly 2,000 answered the call for recruits. Only 500 were selected. Residents far and wide gathered to watch the battalion board trains to the Eastern Front. Before long, the battalion captured the attention of world leaders, journalists, and activists. Butch Korova met with England's King George and U.S. President Woodrow Wilson. Theodore Roosevelt shared some of his Nobel Peace Prize money with the commander. But it wasn't until the smoke cleared and the battlefield fell silent that the truth was unveiled. As the world marveled at the gallantry of this extraordinary battalion, they discovered a revelation that shattered their preconceived notions. Butch Korova, you see, had once been a peasant who had fled an abusive marriage to a violent alcoholic. The commander of the Battalion of Death was a woman. But that wasn't all. Hidden beneath the armor and determined gazes of Maria Butch Korova's Battalion of Death, the soldiers all shared something in common. While the men had fled their posts, it had been the women who had taken up the call on the Eastern Front. An act that was both courageous and curious.
Hey, everyone. It's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for less. And for a limited time, new customers receive their second month free when they sign up and use promo code MONTHFREE by May 31st. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Taxes, fees, and other third-party charges will apply. See website for additional details.
With AT&T in-car Wi-Fi, elevate your adventure by transforming your vehicle into a reliable Wi-Fi hotspot. Connect up to 10 devices up to 50 feet away from your vehicle, making it ideal for camping and road trips. Don't miss out on the fun. Embark on your next adventure today. Visit att.com/in-car Wi-Fi to check if you're eligible for a free trial. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
Waiting on a tax return? Hopefully it ends up in your hands. Fraudulent tax returns due to identity theft increased by 30% in 2023. If you're in a bind this tax season, LifeLock can help. LifeLock monitors and alerts you to identity threats you may miss on your own, even if you're careful with your personal information. And if you do become the victim of tax-related identity fraud, LifeLock has U.S.-based restoration specialists ready to help solve identity theft issues on your behalf. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. Why wait for your tax refund in vain? Help protect your information immediately with LifeLock. Go to LifeLock.com/iHeart and save up to 25% your first year. That's 25% off at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Identity theft protection starts here.
Everyone has at least one thing they're good at. One person might be an excellent piano player, while another could be a skilled painter. It could take time to figure out what a person's talent might be, but eventually everyone figures out that they have a skill that's all their own. Like Helen Gibson. Helen was really good at risking her life. She was born Rose August Wenger in Cleveland, Ohio in 1892 to Fred and Annie Wenger. With four other sisters in the family, her father had hoped that he'd have at least one boy, but when Helen arrived, he pushed her to be the son that he'd always wanted. She got her first taste of danger when she was 17 years old. She'd attended a Wild West show that had come to Cleveland, which had enthralled her with all the roping and horseback riding the performers demonstrated. But it was while reading a copy of Billboard magazine when she noticed an ad looking for female riders to audition for a ranch in Oklahoma. Helen answered the call, and 1 year later she debuted at her first Wild West show in St. Louis, Missouri. Unfortunately, her employment with the ranch didn't last long. The show closed down in 1911, while its performers were still in California. But Helen wasn't out of work for long. She found a new job in Hollywood, where she rode horses as an extra in Western pictures. Her first on-screen appearance, if you're curious, was in a 1912 silent film called Ranch Girls on a Rampage. Tinseltown was also where she met her future husband, Edmund Hoot Gibson. And by 1913, the pair were performing in rodeos across the western U.S. And these weren't just shows, they were contests, too. They swept one rodeo in Salt Lake City, Utah, where they took home the prizes for trick riding and won all the races that there were. But this wasn't just a hobby. Helen's true career was back in Hollywood. Western films were getting more dangerous and daring, putting Helen in high demand. Around 1915, Gibson took over as the lead for a long-running serial called The Hazards of Helen, named for its star, Helen Holmes. But during the middle of the series, Holmes fell ill and Gibson stepped in as a substitute. For two films, Gibson took home $35 a week. The bosses back in New York liked her. She was rough and tumble, and her stunts looked great on screen. The one film had her grabbing hold of a rope dangling from a bridge as she stood atop a pack of running horses. She then used that rope to swing onto a passing train. Impressed with her capabilities, the studio decided to keep her for the remaining 69 episodes of the serial run, which concluded in February of 1917. This led to another series, The Daughters of Daring, with Gibson back in the saddle for one of her most dangerous stunts ever captured on film. Helen had to ride a motorcycle through a wooden barricade while pursuing a runaway train. She then steered that motorcycle up to the station platform, through a boxcar of one train, and onto the flat car of another passing train. It was the kind of stunt that required expert timing and a lot of skill, and Helen nailed it. Eventually, the studio was sold to another production company called Vitagraph, at which point Helen jumped ship to Universal for 3 years, making $125 a week. After her contract was up there, she went to Capitol Film Company for more than double her rate, although that didn't last long. Capitol went belly up in May of 1920. That year, she created her own production company called Helen Gibson Productions, but its first picture practically bankrupt her. She was forced to go back to contract work, although this time she earned a substantial increase to $450 a week. And then her career took a hard left turn. A ruptured appendix put Helen in the hospital for weeks, during which time she was replaced with another actress. Once she finally recovered, she got back to work, but injured herself bad enough to wind up right back in the hospital. She had to sell a good deal of her jewelry and personal assets just to stay afloat. But Helen Gibson never stopped working. She continued to perform in rodeos and circus shows for a number of years after that, and she appeared in films until her retirement at the age of 69. Her last film was the 1961 Western classic, The Man Who Shot Liberty Valance, starring John Wayne. Helen Gibson was a trailblazer. Some might even say that literally. And the work she did gave women a leg up in Hollywood. But she wasn't just a silent film star. She was America's first professional Hollywood stuntwoman.
I hope you've enjoyed today's guided tour of the Cabinet of Curiosities. Subscribe for free on Apple Podcasts or learn more about the show by visiting curiositiespodcast.com. This show was created by me, Aaron Mankey, in partnership with How Stuff Works. I make another award-winning show called Lore, which is a podcast, book series, and television show. And you can learn all about it over at theworldoflore.com. And until next time, stay curious.